Looking to the Lord for all needed help this night, I would call your attention to the Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6, and the last two verses, 19 and 20. The sixth chapter of Hebrews, verses 19 and 20, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Blessed word is this, blessed comfort to the Lord's people. Oh, if they have this hope as an anchor of the soul, oh, then with them it shall go well. Oh, while life shall last and well when called to die. Oh, and the Apostle Paul, he manifests great love as he comes to these Hebrews. Yea, in all his epistles, as he came to the church at Rome, he says, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. And so he comes to these Hebrews, and as he comes, he wishes them well. He says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Oh, the same diligence he would have them show as they showed, as they ministered to the saints. Oh, that they may obtain this blessed hope. Oh, we knew the value of it. And why? Oh, we had learned by a sweet experience. Oh, his experience as the Lord had led him through that strange path had wrought hope by the Holy Spirit in his heart. Oh, and having that hope, he wanted others also to have it. Oh, and this is the experience of all the Lord's dear people, as they have that blessed hope in their hearts themselves, or they wish it for others. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, and he goes to set forth a sweet doctrine regarding this blessed hope, a good hope through grace, which hope we have, who are included in this way. Are you, poor sinner? Are you included in it? Or don't you know anything about it? Is this a strange language? Have you no desire to have this blessed hope wrought in you? Which hope we have. And Paul lays out who are the people who have this blessed hope. This hope in Jesus Christ, this gospel hope, the heirs of promise, the spiritual seed of Abraham, these are the people. Oh, there is a false hope. Oh, the hypocrite has a hope. The world have a hope. Oh, they say, well, we hope this will happen, and we hope that will happen, but this isn't the hope we are talking about. The Word of God tells us regarding the hypocrite, the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Oh, yes. Oh, if this is not a good hope through grace which you have, if it's a mere notion of the brain, if it's barely in the mind or in the day of thy death, oh, what a calamity. What a desperate place to be in, on a false foundation, but not so the spiritual seed of Abraham. Oh no. No, it's the design of our God by his grace that every one of them shall have this blessed hope wrought in their hearts by the Holy Spirit's work. And what is the foundation of this hope? Where is this hope based? The foundation of this hope is on the Word of God, the counsel and the oath of our God. Oh, for he says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. What does this mean? We would think first of that word immutable. We read these words and very often do not think upon the meaning of them. This shibboleth of Zion. Immutable means unchangeable, unalterable. And that's the counsel and the oath of our God. And what is the oath? What's the oath? If you look in your dictionaries, you'll see that an oath is a solemn promise. It's an affirmation. And so, in those counsels of eternity, oh, it was decreed by our God that there should be a people formed for his praise. Oh, and in that sweet counsel of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father, and he was willing to come to this sin-cursed earth, even for sinners, and sinners of the deepest dye. Oh, thinking of this, Paul says, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Do you feel it? Do you feel to be the chief of sinners? Some of us do from time to time as our sins are brought before us. And so, in this council of old, it was decreed that there should be a people formed for his praise, saved by a great salvation, saved by his sovereign grace according to his holy will. Oh, and this was confirmed by an oath even unto Abraham. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Oh, and that word is a sure word. Oh, immutable, unalterable, unchangeable. No, it can never change, though the world shall pass away. Yet the Word of God endureth forever. Oh, and this is at the foundation of this blessed hope. Oh, it is. Which hope we have. Which hope we have. And where is this hope? Where is this hope? Oh, it's in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That within the veil, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, how is this hope wrought in the hearts of the Lord's dear people? How does it come? We read, did we not, in Romans 5, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. This is it. The Lord's dear people, as we see in the scripture, every one of them, more or less in their measure, have to walk in the path of tribulation. Oh, they know many changes. Oh, they do. Oh, and this tribulation, this chastening, it's not very pleasing to the flesh, but oh, it's good for the soul. Oh, it is. This is the way the Lord has ever led his people, and if it were not so, we would not have it in the blessed Word of God, these beautiful psalms, as the psalmist cries out in his bitter anguish unto the Lord, feeling the depths of his sins. Oh, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What brought that forth? From the heart of David. Oh, it was tribulation. Oh, it was. Oh, and this tribulation is very needful. Oh, we would in the flesh steer clear of it. Ah, but tribulation worketh patience. And you old saints, you know maybe more than I do what I'm talking about. I know it in my measure. Oh, you may say, well, what trouble have you known? Oh, every child of God is brought into great trouble on account of his sin. Oh, he is. There'll be great trouble, great tribulation regarding this. Oh, we are sinful creatures, and we have to learn it day by day. And oh, how our hearts, they have that old nature, just the same as the world, no different. Oh, and our heart goes after those things that are worldly, those things that do not profit. Oh, and the Lord, he'll bring his people back, that he will, his own dear people, in whose heart he is going to work this blessed hope. Oh, yes. Oh, he'll visit them with the rod, if my children forsake my law, says the word. Oh, he will visit them with the rod. Oh, yet he'll never take his loving kindness away from them. Oh no. Oh, and this is the hope of his people. This is a comfort to his people as they're brought by faith to believe his word, that wherever he leads them, however he deals with them, whatever tribulations, whatever troubles, whatever sorrows they are brought into, oh, yet all these things work together for their good. Oh, and this tribulation, oh, it works patience. By nature we have very little patience. Oh, but God knows how to make us patient. Oh, he knows how to work experience in the hearts of his dear people. Oh, and without this blessed experience, how could we have this blessed hope? Oh, as the Lord's people, as they go on in the pilgrimage of earth, they are brought into those experiences where they have to call upon their God. Oh, they're brought on their knees. Oh, they are. None of that formal prayer in the time of trouble. Oh, the Lord from time to time will bring you in tears at the footstool, at his throne of grace, and you'll have to pour out your troubles before him. He'll squeeze that prayer out of you. Oh yes. Oh, think of Jacob comes to mind. Dear Jacob, as Esau came towards him with those 400 men, oh, how he had to cry unto the Lord in his trouble. Ah, but the Lord delivered him out of his distresses. And think of his hope. Think of that sweet hope as he could look back. And the Lord's people, as they look back, they see these deliverances. Oh, and this hope rises up within their hearts as they think back of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy to them in the pilgrimage of this earth. Oh, and that blessed hope is wrought in their souls by the operations of the Holy Spirit. I think it's in Hosea we find a mention of this blessed hope. Hosea chapter 2 and 14th verse and the 15th, we read, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope." Oh, what know you of the valley of Achor? That's the valley of trouble. Valley of trouble. You know there's not much fruitful growth on the mountain top. You have to go down in the valley to find the fruit. And so you do in grace also. The Lord brings his people, and why? To humble, to bring down their proud nature, all to teach them, and to bring them in humility before him. Oh, and they'll know that experience of the valley of Achor. Oh, they will. Oh, and we read that it shall be made the door of hope. This is the commencement of the Lord's work In bringing hope into the heart of his people, he brings them into trouble. Whether it be conviction of sin, whether he visits them with the rod for their backsliding, or whether they have to walk in those paths of bereavement and sorrow. All these things work together for the good of his dear people. Oh, and this is how this hope, you know, this hope in the hearts of the Lord's people, it grows. Oh, there is a growth in grace. There's a growth in hope. Oh, there is. If there's no growth in the spiritual life, then there's something wrong. So naturally. Yes, naturally, if something doesn't grow, if a plant doesn't grow, we say, well, there's something wrong with that plant. And so in grace, there will be a growth in grace. Oh, and the hope of the Lord's people, it shall increase with experience. Oh, that it will. Oh, they'll be brought to say, he that hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He was one who lived in an evil day. He was one who knew much tribulation. Oh, and we have those writings which have been a great comfort to the Lord's dear people. As we look into his lamentations, old Jeremiah, he was led into deep experience. He says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his rock. Oh, and so he had. Poor Jeremiah, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, and in that third chapter, he moans in his affliction. Oh, but then we see the grace in Jeremiah. Oh, as the tune of this blessed chapter changes. Oh, he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Listen to this. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. And this is the way of the Lord's people. Oh, you will never have that blessed hope wrought in your heart without trouble. Oh, no. No, you may think in the flesh that to walk in an easy pathway is very pleasant. Ah, but the thoughts of our God are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And the Lord's people, oh, they'll be led into these places. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Here, the dear apostle, he likens the pilgrimage to a voyage. And this hope he likens to that anchor of the soul. Oh, you would not send a ship out, would you, on a voyage without an anchor? Oh, you say, well, that would be asking for trouble. Oh, the ship would soon be driven onto the rocks and destroyed. But this is the way the world walks. This is the way of the hypocrite at sea without an anchor. No hope. No hope. Ah, but the Lord's name, people, they have that anchor which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, and in all those storms of life, oh, the Lord's people, oh, there amongst those that the psalmist speaks of, they who go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, oh, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Oh, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Oh, have you got this blessed hope wrought in your soul by the Spirit of God? Oh, where'd you go in your troubles, in those storms of life? Oh, do you falter and fall down helpless? Listen to one in the Word of God who has this hope as an anchor of his soul as he's brought into trouble. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. There's that blessed anchor. Oh, and have you not been led into these ways? Oh, where the Lord has brought you into deep trouble. Deep trouble. Oh, and you've had to look to the Lord. Oh, and the Lord, by his Spirit, has raised up a sweet hope within you. Oh, and where has that hope been? Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And this is where the hope of the Lord's dear people is, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, in that experience, they are brought off themselves. They brought from that place where they could hope a little in themselves. They brought to see that their hope alone is in Jesus Christ and his most precious blood. One says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest phrase, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, is that your position? Is that your place? Can you trust those sweet frames that you're brought into? Or have you experienced that sweet frame when you thought that, oh, you'd never forget your God again? Oh, you'd never fall from that highest state of love to Jesus Christ again. You'd never walk in certain sinful ways again. But how? When the Lord leaves you for a moment, oh, you're brought to walk in those sins you said I would never walk in. And so, little by little, all the people of the Lord are brought to trust not in themselves, oh, not even a sweet praying, not when the Lord comes and visits them, not when they receive the kisses of his mouth, not when they are lifted above these earthly things and know a little sweet communion with him. Oh, they can't trust in that. which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, the precious blood of Jesus, that sweet atoning sacrifice is alone sufficient to blot out the sins of his dear people. Oh, and their hope will be alone in Jesus Christ, as they are taught by the Blessed Spirit. Oh, how in the Old Testament dispensation, oh, at the time of the Passover, oh, that sweet type of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, oh, we read of the blood being put upon hyssop, and the doorposts and the lintel of the door were struck with this blood. Oh, and what does the Word say? Does the Word of God say, when I see your good works, when I see your righteousness and your good deeds, I will pass over you? No. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, naturally speaking, there was no difference between the firstborn of the Egyptians and the firstborn of the Israelites. Oh no! Were the firstborn of the Israelites any better than the Egyptians? Are you any better than the world which lieth in wickedness? No, my friends. No, you're not. Oh, your heart is sinful. Oh, it's desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. That's the heart of men, that's the natural heart of the Lord's people. It's when I see the blood, I will pass over you, nothing less. And if your hope falls short of this foundation, the blood of Jesus Christ, then it'll be as the hypocrite's hope. Oh, it'll perish. Oh, in that day when thy soul is required of thee, oh, what a calamity. Oh, where's your hope? Is it in Jesus' blood? Have you been taught by sweet experience not to lean upon your own works? Oh, you have to cry out to the Lord in all humility before him. Oh, keep me, Lord. Oh, if thou keep me not, then I shall fall. I shall sink at last. Oh, is this your hope? A sweet hope through grace. It's all of grace. It's a sweet hope through grace. Not of works. Oh, no, all of sovereign grace. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, where the Lord gives this sweet gospel hope in the soul of his dear people, oh, he also gives other graces of the Spirit. That hope will not be there alone. Oh no, where that hope is, oh, there'll be faith. Oh, there'll be faith. Our God will give faith to believe him at his word. Oh, if we had no faith to believe the Lord at his word, how could we trust in that word as a foundation of our hope? Oh, we'll give this faith, that's his precious gift. Oh, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he'll also give love. Oh, he will. Oh, you'll have that love in your heart. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, will shed that precious, sweet love in the abroad in the hearts of his dear people. Oh, there'll be that humility. Oh, where you see a proud spirit, where you see striving amongst the people who worship in the courts of the Lord, oh, you have reason to question whether there's grace. Where there's grace, my friends, there's humility. Where there's grace, there's love. Where there's grace, there's hope. Where there's grace, there's faith. Oh, all these things abide together. There will come a time when there'll be no need for that faith. There'll be no need for that hope. Oh, they'll give way to sight. But this love shed abroad in the hearts of his dear people is an everlasting love. Oh, it is. It's a love everlasting to a boundless eternity. Oh, do you know it? Have you got that love to the brethren? Has the Lord brought you and humbled you? Oh, and as he has humbled you and taught you by a sweet experience, oh, as he wrought in you that forgiveness of the brethren. Do you forgive your brother? Or are you as that wicked servant whose master forgave him and then he went out and he beat another servant who owed to him? I would be very, very searching in this. Oh, these who know this blessed hope, these amongst this we, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, they'll know of that love of Christ. Oh, there'll be that love to the brethren. They love the Lord, his people, and his ways. Oh, what does the word say? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Oh, where this hope is, there'll be faith and there'll be love. Oh, and there'll be that little raising up from time to time to look by precious faith within the veil. You won't live for this life only. Oh no. No, certain things will be very important. And that will be the end of your soul. That will be the important thing. The things of this world, you'll be weaned from them. There'll be one thing that's important. Oh, eternal life. You want to lay hold of eternal life. Oh, the things that glitter in this life. The things that please a worldly heart. Oh, they'll be taken out of your heart's affection. Oh, and you'll be wanting to be amongst the Lord's only people. This will be your principal desire. To be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. To have a hope in his mercy. To worship in his earthly courts from Sabbath to Sabbath and weeknight to weeknight. Oh, if this blessed hope is wrought in your soul, this will be your walk, this will be your portion. Oh, desiring to do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and you'll be grieved. My friends, you will be grieved if you do anything to offend. not only offend the Lord, but offend the brethren. Have you been? I've been brought there, you know, where by sin I've been let go, and I've said a hasty word to one of the brethren. Oh, and the Lord has come with conviction of sin, and I've wept. Oh, I've had to go to that brother and apologise. Oh, and pray before the Lord that he would purge it away. These are the people who have that blessed hope as an anchor of the soul. Oh, that they'll have that faith to see within the veil. Oh, for the wings of faith to rise, says the hymn writer, within the veil, and see the saints of God, how high they rise, how bright their glories be. And you'll have a blessed hope that one day you'll be there. You'll be there with the blessed people of the Lord, those you have loved and walked with on this earth, those who have had that same blessed hope wrought in their hearts. Oh, all the Lord's people, they will all pass this way. For the Lord Jesus Christ says, of all that thou hast given me, I have lost none, save the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And Judas was the only one, only one. Oh, and if you're in that blessed spiritual Israel, I believe you'll know a little of what I've endeavoured most feebly to speak of this night. Oh, that blessed hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, that forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who walked this way, that one who is afflicted in all the afflictions of his dear people, that one who tasted death for his people, oh, that one who perfumed the grave for his people, that blessed one who rose again from the dead and is now at the right hand of God interceding for the saints. Oh, this is that one in whom we have our hope, that sweet forerunner. One says, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven art thy credentials sure. Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Is he? Is he? Have you a sweet hope? Oh, do you? Is that your one desire? To be found amongst that spiritual Israel? Oh, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. I see the time has gone. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.